This morning I'm preaching from 2 Kings chapters 11 through 12. I'm also using the parallel chapters in 2 Chronicles. And the life principle focus in this lesson is about God using us, using you, to accomplish His will. Now this is important. It's an important truth that the Spirit wants planted in all of us. It's the awareness of God accomplishing His will through you. Now there should always be a sensitivity to this. Like even this morning, you woke up, be aware of the sensitivity that God's using you throughout the week. He wants us to have a sensitivity. And the sensitivity has to do with that God having plans for you. He has plans for this generation, and He's using you. Using you specifically to accomplish His will. And, very important, and it's magnified in your intentional willingness to do so. Now, God wants you to live for Him in your relationship, and He wants you to believe that all of this is really happening, and He wants you to look for it at all times, purposely making it your way of thinking and acting, which is your willingness that I'm talking about, your willingness. This is your calling. So prepare your heart for this sermon. God uses you to willfully accomplish His will. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking that I would preach your truth rightly handled, and that we would be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that you would plant in us the lesson, and that we would live it. Live what you are giving us, Father, for your glory, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Now, back in the setting of our visual verse lesson, so to speak, from 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, a man named Jehu was anointed by Elisha the prophet, to be king of the northern kingdom of Israel. Jehu then proceeded to willfully follow the Lord's will in taking the throne. And he quickly eradicated evil King Ahab's family. And he eliminated Baal worship from the land. God used Jehu to accomplish His will. He was willfully living out His calling. Jehu killed evil King Jehoram. He replaced him. Jehu also killed Jehoram's wicked mother, wicked Jezebel. And Jehu was also used by God to kill evil King Ahaziah. Ahaziah was the king of the southern kingdom in Judah. And Jehu was going in faith. He was going in zeal. He was going for God's holy revolution. And now Jehu was willfully reigning as king in the northern kingdom of Israel according to God's will. But there was a problem. It was a spiritual problem stronghold manifested in the physical world. And we all encounter this kind of thing. The spiritual problem strongholds of life manifested in the things of the world. And that's because the spiritual war never ends. And you are in it. You are in the spiritual war all the time. Now back then, though evil King Ahaziah had just been killed by Jehu, Ahaziah's evil mother, Athaliah, was still alive down in Judah. And though she was in the southern kingdom, Athaliah was the daughter of wicked Queen Jezebel from up in the north. And so she continued her mother's murderous, God-rejecting ways. And when evil Athaliah found out that her son had been killed by Jehu, she decided she would use the situation to put herself on the throne to reign over Judah in the south as the queen. So, true to willfully doing the will of the devil, she wickedly had all the heirs to the throne executed. Her sin-twisted wickedness included executing her own grandchildren, plus virtually everyone who remained of the royal family. Wicked Athaliah selfishly inserted herself as queen in rejection of Yahweh. Yahweh's will was that a descendant of David would always sit on the throne in Judah. But there was a woman in Jerusalem who was willfully being used by God to accomplish His will in the ongoing struggle for reformation. Willfully. That's our lesson. And she was Princess Jehosheba. And the daughter of King Joram is this woman, Jehosheba. So this is how the relationship is. And evil Athaliah was Jehosheba's half-mother. And now Jehosheba operated in faith as a dedicated child of the one and only true God. And what she did required a lot of bravery. And it required conviction. It required resolve. She had to walk in faith because she risked her life. She risked death to abduct one of the baby grandchildren and hide him with the nurse, to kidnap this kid, keep him alive, And the name of the baby she hid was Jehoash, also known as Joash, a son of Ahaziah, a descendant of David. Now, providentially, Princess Jehosheba was the wife of the high priest Jehoiada. So, putting her own life on the line, she heroically smuggled Joash to God's temple to be raised behind the scenes till he was 7 years old. Now, Queen Athaliah reigned the whole time Joash was being raised in secret. He's across, he's over in the temple, you have the palace, the temple's not very far away. She never knew it. And then one day, 2 Chronicles 23 explains that the high priest Jehoiada gathered his courage for a bold move to be willfully used by God to accomplish God's will. And so, like the scriptures told us that Jehoiada's wife had to be brave, we now see that it says Jehoiada gathered his courage. Now, often when you're being used by God, you and me, to willingly accomplish his will, we are being used by him, we're willfully doing it, it will be something that will require pushing yourself to go forward in bravery. You will have to gather your courage. And there might be some situation like going on in your life right now, something that you can think of. Just know this, that courage and bravery is not something that's easy. Follow what I'm saying. It's courage, it's because it's hard. People who do things with no worry or care are not gathering courage to do it. Now, for you to be courageous when it's scary and it's fearful for you, you're going to have to willfully stand for God even though you're worried and caring about the consequences hurting you. And being brave in your call is something that you must decide to do because you're seeking God's will. That is the reason. And the best way I've found to be brave is to trust God in faith. That's the best way. And this is what Jehosheba and Jehoiada did. In faith, for bravery to move, to push you into action, so to speak, God's will is what you must keep in mind to drive you, all right? And so what I need to do, this is what I understand, is resolve to not lose sight of the worthiness, the real value of taking risks to do God's will. Be led by the Spirit. Be led in reliance on his strength. And this is so key because when you do that, the value, the leading, your reliance on him becomes your courage. It becomes your bravery. So whatever that situation that you can think of, something you can know, you know what they are, that situation is how you will willfully accomplish his will no matter what. So back then, the next thing Jehoiada willfully did was secretly gather commanders from all over to meet with him in the house of the Lord, the temple. And 2 Chronicles explains those military leaders went across the land of Judah to gather men from all over the place. And they all willfully gathered in Jerusalem at the temple. It was secret, though. Queen Athaliah was comfortable in the palace. She's enjoying herself. And she had no idea that resistance for reformation and revival was going on. And with all these people now, they're in the temple. The high priest Jehoiada revealed the king's son, 7-year-old Joash, brings him out. He shows them to everyone. And he told them, God's will has been prophesied generations before to David. And he said, as 2 Chronicles 23 explains, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has spoken concerning the sons of David. That's God's word. Take the stand on God's word. That's what Jehoiada's doing. That's what the people are doing. And this promise of God in continuance of the throne of David, that's the prophecy from Nathan the prophet that he spoke to David that went down all the way to Jesus, who is God's ultimate redemptive fulfillment in and all. And now Jesus sits on the throne forever as the perfect King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in spiritual salvation, we experience being transferred into his kingdom of light from the domain of darkness. He is the king that we willfully serve with our hearts. And so there, it was necessary for Joash to take the throne in his part of accomplishing God's will in that day. Well, the next thing that priest Jehoiada did was organized men to be placed and ready on the Sabbath to guard the young prince with deadly force. He's got all this going on behind the scenes, secretly to the queen. And Jehoiada used the daily changing of the guards to distribute God's freedom fighters from all over while they were in Jerusalem. And the wicked usurper, Athaliah, she expected nothing. And then Jehoiada gave the Levites, who secretly maneuvered for the revolution, the antique spears and the shields that were stored in the temple, which had belonged way back to King David. So now they're armed. And then on the Sabbath day, the warriors of God's will willfully stationed themselves all over Jerusalem to protect Joash and transfer kingship back to what God had ordained as his will. And they knew it was God's will. And then Jehoiada brought little Joash out, and he put the crown on the boy. And Jehoiada gave Joash the formal coronation rites, and Joash was anointed. He was made king of Judah. And everyone clapped their hands. They were applauding in jubilation, yelling out, "Long live the king!" Now, over in the palace, like I said, it's not very far away from the temple. Evil Athaliah heard the noise. So she goes out to the temple to find out what's going on. And then she saw the new king, 7-year-old King Joash, standing there in royal attire. And she saw the military surrounding him. And she saw people from all over, just they're being joyful. They're blowing trumpets. And she realized what was going on. But the problem is that she did not understand that it was all God's will, that he was using his people to willfully, by their own volition, to accomplish his will. And so she yelled out, "A conspiracy is taking place." And this is how the lost world thinks. It doesn't understand God's will. When you confront the world with its sinfulness, with its rebellion against God, it doesn't understand unless the Holy Spirit's working in the heart. But the world sees that when you're willfully pursuing God's will, what they think is that you're doing things like our conspiracies. They think that what you're doing is the wrong thing. And see, the world calls good evil, and it calls evil good. We're here to correct the world as God's willful servants. And sin tries to stay everywhere without allowing you to come in and clear it out to show what it is. See? But even though the world accuses you of wrong, we really got to take our calling seriously. Take your calling seriously. Take hold of the confidence that God is using you to willfully accomplish his will, no matter what it is. And think about this. Your victory is in God's eyes. So don't worry about being victorious. The victory is different than the world's standards, because I'm speaking about the victory when I say you're willingly serving God, doing the truth, doing his will. See, you're manifesting the life of Christ. It's what we sang about. Your holy presence living in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul says. Well, Christ is in you spiritually, and you are in him covenantally. And so you're manifesting the life of Christ. That right there is victory. See, you're going along, and that's the victory. So think of it this way. Even when you're being persecuted, you're being victorious. You know, even if plans seem thwarted, you're being victorious. Why? Because willful obedience is the main goal. To pursue God's will is the victory. Well, next, Jehoiada gave orders to the military to have this wicked woman and anyone who followed her executed. He said, "Do it away from the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and they took her over to the horse's entrance of the palace, and they quickly dispatched of her demonic life right there. And then we read, High Priest Jehoiada made a covenant of the will of the Lord. And it was between the Lord, King Joash, and the people. And the covenant was that they would be the Lord's people. Now, they're already in covenant with God. They're already God's people. God's people under the Abrahamic covenant, God's people under the Mosaic covenant. But they needed to be the Lord's people in their hearts. Follow me. They needed to be God's people who willfully sought to accomplish his will in all things, keeping on going. So that's what he's doing. And with Jesus, he's your Savior. You're in the new covenant by grace through faith. And Jesus is also Lord. Now, you're not saved by works. You're saved as a manifestation of the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. You are cleansed from all sin in him. And manifesting the salvation that we have is something that comes out to be seen in biblical actions. You follow me? So as you serve Jesus, your service is to willfully do the actions of the will of your Lord. And what happens? You're manifesting Christ in you as Lord. That's what's going on. You know, love others as he loves you in actions. Share who he is with others. Have the mind to separate from partaking in sin. Learn more about him, more about the truth he's given. Apply it. Just don't be a doctrine collector. You know, there's many ways for you to manifest the life of Christ Jesus. And when you do, God is using you by the Spirit to be his arms and his feet to willingly, willfully accomplish his will in this world. It's your calling. It is. Now, back there in Jerusalem, Jehoiada, he also made a covenant between the king and the people. And Joash was to be revered as their king, and they were to submit to him. God's promise that a descendant of David would continue to rule was accomplished that day. And in it all, his people were willfully used by him to make it come about. That's the lesson. God gets things done by using you, by using us, me, you, his children, using you, his child. Now, they did it in faith. So do you. But there's more, because there always is. All the people there went over to the pagan temple of Baal that had been built in Jerusalem, the city of David. And they tore it down, and they killed the priest of Baal that was there. See, what they were doing is willfully turning their backs on the pagan darkness, which had choked their relationship with God. Now, as God uses you to willfully accomplish his will, turning your back on sin, turning your back on sinful influences is basic. It's classic. You know, you've already been given a new life in him. So when you turn your back on sin, when you turn your back on sin actions which tempt you, sin actions which have gotten strongholds that you have allowed to choke out the manifestation of the life of Christ, because that's what you're doing. You're allowing it to choke it out. You are now walking through the open door for him, when you turn your back on it, for him to shine from your heart. Now back there, the doors of revival were open. God's will was shining. And Joash reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. And we're told that Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all his days. Very important that Jehoiada, the priest, was there to instruct him. Well, Jehoiada, the priest, represents the word of God. And the word of God is how you know what the Lord's express will is. It speaks to your heart, instructing you on what is right. And this is why I'm always pressing us. Be students of God's word, the Bible. Memorize it. Study it. I mean, memorize. You don't have to memorize the whole Bible, but it'd be great if you would. Memorize portions of it, stories, principles, precepts. Listen to Bible teaching and preaching. When you walk according to the word of God, rightly handled, you don't have to worry about being on the wrong path with God's will. And Joash was doing this. And so he willfully sought to accomplish God's will as the king of Judah. One day, when King Joash was older, he recognized that the temple had accumulated damage over time. 2 Chronicles 24 tells us that the sons of wicked Athaliah had broken into the house of God to do the devil's will. They used the holy things of the house of the Lord for false Baal god worship. And so by this time, the temple had gone through a lot of wear and tear over the years, plus all this had happened with Athaliah's children. So King Joash told the priest, he said, go out, collect money to repair the house of God annually. Well, the Levites of the priesthood, they kept putting off the renovation project, so King Joash just kept pressing the matter. And what was he doing? He was set on doing the will of the Lord. So to get the ball rolling, Jehoiada the priest was also set to do the will of the Lord. He decided to take action in a very effective way. He made a giving box. He drilled a hole in the lid of a chest. He put the giving box beside the altar where the people came into the house of the Lord. And the priests who guarded the area, they put money, all that money that was brought into the house of the Lord, into that box. And when the chest was finally full, they used the money to do one thing, repair the damage. And during this restoration time, the typical uses, it tells us, of the temple money donations was put off. They didn't use it for everything else that they typically used it for. Every bit of the money and work was willfully given to repairing the house of the Lord. And nobody involved in the work project had to give an account for using the funds for their work. Why? Because everyone was faithfully seeking to do the will of the Lord, being used by him to willfully accomplish his will. It's the call. And so this is the Spirit's urging from the lessons of the days of Joash. You know, we find the lessons repeated all through the Bible. It's just practically on every single page. I mean, we see the calling from Genesis to Revelation, and you are there. You're part of it right now, see? And so think of God speaking directly to you. And he's reminding you. He has plans to use you specifically, you, to accomplish his will. And it is true. And he wants you, his child, to take the step of faith to resist the darkness. He wants you to have the vision, the zeal to be a reformer, seeking the ways of God and encouraging others, to get on and keep on, to keep on with the same path. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to have the heart that longs for revival, not just in your own life, okay, but in the nation, in your community, your family, very important. You know, he wants you to manifest a heart that's already revived, a life that's focused on the bigger picture. And he wants you to show it to others for this reason, so that they will be revived too. This is what we want to see. You know, the bottom line of what we do is building up. That's what ministry is about. Do everything for building up. And he wants your intentional willingness in it. God loves that. It's your calling. So seek it in every single scenario of your life. I mean, you have situations going on in your life. You can discern them. I don't know what they are, but you know. Well, God has you there for this call. So pursue it. Be emboldened. Be vitalized in the faith. Pursue it in faith. That's what you're going to need. Trust him when it seems fearful to be obedient. Trust him with your efforts. Be praying all the time. Remember, there is true victory in this. What is the true victory? It's your own willful walk of faith. That's the victory. So you may have a situation in your family that God wants you to willfully take a stand for his will. It's your family. You can discern it. And it may be fearful. Seek God. Don't compromise. Trust him. Trust him with whatever happens next, whatever it is. Even if it doesn't seem to go the way you wanted, trust him with whatever happens next. Prayerfully go forward to fulfill your call to intentionally be used by him. Father, use me in some way for whatever it is. Could be a job situation. Could be a business situation. I mean, you know the areas where God sovereignly has you. You will know when your call is needed for action. You will know what it is. It could be sharing the gospel. Could be a word of warning to someone who's going down the wrong path with the Lord. Could be words of healing, of encouragement in the Lord. You know, just coming in at just the right time. You're calling. You're willfully doing it. You know, it's a matter of that. A matter of willfully being that Christ bearer God has designed you to be all the time and being it in that situation. And there may be someone that you know, an acquaintance, a friend. Think of yourself as the one. Okay, you are God's person. He has for being sensitive to the things in that person's life that need ministering to. So the urging is, be an active seeker. Look for how to be used by God to accomplish his will in this generation. Amen.